Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Xander. And Bubba's back. Took a little couple minutes off last week, but I'm back. And what's up, Xander?
Not much, you know. Yeah, it was fun, you know, getting my buddy on, Roz. He's a character, that's for sure. I think everybody could tell that. But yeah, it's good to be back with the dynamic duo. You know, we always start off a little bit of news, and I think we got a lot of great stuff to talk about today. But I think, you know, the first thing, some sad news. Joe McKnight was shot and killed the other day. You know, a USC standout. Didn't do too much in the NFL, but you know, was a pretty decent guy. Was beloved by his teammates, and I think, you know, send our thoughts and prayers to his family. That was a pretty horrific thing. I mean, the guy was only 28 years old. You know, it seems there was a road rage incident. I don't know all the details, but you know, I thought we'd give him a little shout out. You know, it's sad to see someone go at that young an age.
100%, and again, you know, it's always sad, but especially when the guy's a real stand-up guy as well, so that makes it even sadder, right? I mean, he wasn't looking for trouble, right?
Right, and that's the sad part. I mean, anybody, you know, it's sad, but especially at 28 years old, you know, he was playing, he wasn't playing in the NFL this year, but was playing around a little bit, but you know what? That's life sometimes. You know, shitty stuff happens, but, you know, hopefully he will be remembered for what he did, you know, as a person as well as what he did on the field. I mean, he was a great player at USC. But you know what, Bubba, I think we got to move on. My man Tiger, I said it, you know, I've been saying it all along. I think the guy still has some left, and you know what? Came out day one, shot a 73, looked good on the front nine, kind of folded on the back, comes out and shoots 7 under. On day two, no bogey-free round. I mean, the guy looked pretty damn good.
You know, we'll find out if this is the Tiger of old or if it's just old Tiger. I mean, they all come up with a round. Even I can come out and shoot an 80, but, you know, and for me, that's pretty good. But let's see if he's got, you know, the one thing about golf, it's the duration of a long, hard, grueling weekend, especially in the majors. Listen, I hope he's back. He's great for the game. He's a great player. However, you know, we've seen guys like this have moments, and you know, again, for his sake and for the game's sake and for me to want to watch TV, I hope he's back. But you know, again, I need a lot more proof than 165. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And you know, it's amazing how much one guy can really take hold of a sport. I mean, you know, Tiger Woods has not been good for a very long time. He's been injured. It hasn't even really been playing, but I mean, the second he steps back on the course, I mean, he's the one guy everybody wants to watch. I mean, he is that, you know, it means that much to the game of golf. You know, all my buddies, you know, they're sitting at the TV today watching Tiger play. I mean, it's truly unbelievable. You know, I would say how revolutionary Tiger, you know, is and, you know, was and is for the game of golf. And, you know, after, you know, not playing for almost 2 years and not winning a major, I think it's about 7 or 8 years now, how everybody's just glued to the TV watching this guy. I think it's really interesting. I mean, I watched a little bit of his second round, and I mean, he was spot on. And I know you said, you made a great point. I mean, golf is not, you know, just a game of one day and one round, but I mean, he looked a little bit like his old self. And you know what? I think the key from here on out is whether he can stay healthy. I mean, that's usually what happens you know, with older athletes, you know, things start to break down, and you know, the guy's not young anymore. He's in his late 30s, but I mean, probably the best, you know, one of the top all time competitors in any sport. And you know, there's no doubt in my mind that if you know he is able to stay healthy, I think we could see him make a run at another couple majors.
Possibly, yeah. And again, like I said, we'll see. I mean, he is the golf, but Michael Jordan was the basketball. And you know, hey, you know what? He was always the hardest worker too, which is one of the things I always admired about him. And listen, I hope he's back. I hope it means something. But again, you know, we've seen flashes from him before, because one thing he's still got is the skill. So, you know, you can take any Getty out there who can still swing a club. I mean, you know, you don't remember Tom Watson, but Tom Watson at 50 almost won the British Open. Okay. And it was down to the last day. So, again, I hope he's back, and certainly it'd be great. But, you know, I'm from Missouri. You got to show me.
I hear you, Bob. So, Eric Dickerson versus Jeff Fisher. You know, Eric Dickerson came out. I heard him on SportsCenter the other day, basically saying he's not really welcome around the Rams facility anymore, you know, as long as Jeff Fisher's the coach, Bub. And I don't know if you heard anything about the story, but whose side are you on this one?
I'm never on Jeff Fisher's side. I hate him. I can't. I mean, the guy's an idiot. I mean, he's a good coach. He was a great player for the Bears, and he did a good. He got a team to the Super Bowl, but he is living in so far in the past. I don't even think he knows where he's at, because he does. He makes, with the athletes he has and with the defense he's able to create, he makes the worst decisions. He makes Buddy Ryan look like Bill Belichick.
Right. And, you know, Jeff Fisher, I'm not on his side either. I mean, Eric Dickerson, you know, basically, if you know sports, he's a very outspoken individual, is really not afraid to speak his mind. That's really that's what I love about him. I mean, he was a great player and one of the top 10 running backs of all time, in my opinion. But you know what? I wouldn't want to be around the Rams right now. I mean, they're terrible. And like you said, I mean, they've got so many weapons. For this team to consistently go, you know, 7-9, 8-8 each year, I mean, it's tragic. You know, Jeff Fisher, I think, is almost about to become the most losing coach of all time, and just can't seem to get out of his own way. And it's frustrating as, you know, a football fan. I don't give two craps about the Rams, but I mean, as a football fan, to see this team go out there and do the same thing basically every week, I mean, you know, it's terrible.
It's a place where quarterbacks and receivers go to die, because they
apparently running backs now too. I mean,
you're right. I mean, look, you know, again, I think he's a horrible coach, and I'm not always that critical. I mean, I can try to sometimes find the good in guys. I can find no good in this guy. And you and I have talked about it for 2 years on this show that he never does anything that's worthwhile, in my opinion.
Right. And, you know, I mean, Jeff Fisher, you know, really, I don't know if he's ever really been that good of a coach. I mean, a couple of good years with the Titans back in the early 2000s, but you know, the more he stays around, you know, the more, you know, I don't really want to see him anymore. I mean, this Rams team has been basically the same team for the past 5 years with him at the helm. And, you know, at a certain point, I mean, you know, let's turn the ship around. Let's try to do something different. I mean, they got absolutely waxed by the Saints last week. But, you know, Jared Goff did throw for a few touchdowns, so maybe that's something to look forward to. But all in all, I mean, this team is just, I mean, they're just on pace, you know, to be 7-9 again.
They're on pace to stink, and they'll come up with an occasional big victory because they can shut somebody down. But overall, I mean, why Jared Goff wasn't quarterbacking from the beginning, I don't care. They had no legitimate chance to go anywhere with Case Keenum. I don't care what they're doing. There's your future. You throw him out there, and if he doesn't do any good, then you get rid of him. It's kind of my same bitch with Farrell Cooper on that team as well. And Laquan Treadwell on the Vikings. I mean, you know what? You drafted these guys for a reason. You drafted them high for a reason. Put them out there. Quit jerking around and quit trying to outsmart the game. The game is very simple, and it's actually getting simpler because younger. You know, in the old days, younger guys didn't play. Quarterbacks didn't play for 4 or 5 years. Anyways, this is the Sporting Edge with the Xander the Man and Bubba. We'll be back right after the break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Sporting Edge every weekend, as well as the Bubba Show every day. We'll see you back here right after the break. The Sporting Edge. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And okay, Xander, what you got, big boy?
Well, Bubba, I think we first got to talk a little bit about the Thursday night game. I mean, another brutal loss by the Vikings. I mean, has this season, you know, took a turn for the worst, you know, the past 6 weeks? I mean, this team went from being, you know, arguably the best team in the NFL to a team that, you know, can barely skate by. And I got to give a lot of credit to the Cowboys. I mean, rattling off 11 straight wins with a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back. I mean, I think it's almost like something I've never seen before. I mean, Dak Prescott, I think, is mature beyond his years. And then really did not have a great game. And, you know, the Vikings, Sam Bradford brought him down. The dink and dunk master almost did it again. But a lot of controversy on the two-point conversion, Bub. You know, guy launched at him, hit his face mask, and there was no penalty called. And, you know, how I have interpreted the rule for the past 3 or 4 years, I mean, there should have been a flag on the play. I, you know, taking a step back, I personally don't agree with it. I mean, I thought the guy was trying to bat the ball down, and he did happen to hit him in the face mask. I don't think that's a big deal, but according to how the refs have been calling these games for, you know, 3 or 4 years now with this, the quarterback safety, I mean, the Vikings should have got another shot to tie that game.
Oh, I agree, but again, this is the problem with officiating. Since you cannot go to replay for officiating, they didn't call it, and that is always, you know, these are things, this goes back to the Dez Bryant catch a couple of years ago in Green Bay. And you know what? Unfortunately, there's a penalty on every single play of every game. Okay?
Right.
And they call the ones they see fit, and I guess they didn't want to have the game decided by them calling it. Of course, you know, that's always an issue, and I agree with you. And unfortunately, that was my underdog of the week, and I actually gave it out on the Bubba Show. But I thought they'd actually win straight up, and of course they didn't. But I was surprised that I knew in the first half they looked awful, and they should have been winning. And I thought Sam Bradford was never coming back, to tell you the truth, after he got cracked. But it's a shame. But again, this goes again to another version of a Jeff Fisher type of coach that refuses to really step it up and you know, get his guys involved. And, you know, they started out, they look great, and then all of a sudden they went back into that shell, and it becomes a problem.
Right, and, you know, the Vikings, I mean, I was doing some homework, I was being a good student for once, and I was watching, you know, the game tracker. I mean, you don't win games by kicking field goals. You know, it just, you know, the Vikings are driving the ball, and they could never put the ball in the end zone until, you know, the very end of the game. But, yeah, you know, just NFL officiating, that there's so much gray area now. You know, I don't know what a catch is. You know, I don't know what a personal foul is, you know, all these missed calls. And I don't like it. I mean, I wish there was just more – I wish everything was just a little bit more clear, that we didn't have to, you know, debate on every play. And, you know, it comes down to the end of the game, this penalty should have been called, but it wasn't. Why wasn't it called? Well, the rule is if you get hit in the face mask, you're a quarterback, you know, it's a personal foul. So, you know, I'm not blaming the refs for the Vikings losing. I mean, they lost that game on their own, but – you know, you take a look at the last play, and it seems like they should have gotten another shot. But, Bob, another really great game last week, Chiefs-Broncos. I mean, the decision that Gary Kubiak was faced with, you know, time's winding down in overtime as he kicked the, you know, the 64-yard field goal on 4th and 10. I mean, that's where you get paid the big bucks as a coach. You know, he chose to kick it, and, you know, it ended up backfiring terribly. I mean, the Chiefs got the ball back, I think, you know, around the 46, and, you know, drove down and kicked the field goal and won that game. What do you think? Should Kubiak have kicked the field goal? Should he have punted? Should he have gone for it on 4th and 10 on the 46? What were your thoughts?
He should never kick the field goal, because even in the rarefied air of Denver, his kicker isn't ready for that. And again, you're saying, okay, my game is over right here if he misses. And, of course, it was. And I think that at worst, if they were going to do that, they should have gone for it. But I think they punt the ball because, obviously, their defense is one of the best, if not the best, in football. And, of course, you don't want to give a field position to a team like that. And, of course, they did. And and you got what you deserved. You lost the game.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I thought the third option was definitely going for it. But I thought that would have been an okay play. I mean, it's a tough situation when you're playing a late game and, you know, they're in a division with the Raiders. The Raiders had already won that day. And it's tough. I mean, you're looking at the score, you know, to get in the playoffs, you might need to win this game. So I don't fault him for kicking the field goal. But, you know, I think the safer play was probably to punt it. I personally think I would have gone for it. But I think you punt it. I guess you play for the tie. I mean, you hate to say it, but, I mean, no matter how good your defense is, it's a really tough spot to be in, you know, giving up the ball basically on the 50-yard line. I mean, you only need 20 yards or so to get in the field goal range, and that's exactly what the Chiefs did with the you know, with the ball up the upright. I mean, it was a spectacular game. But, you know, the main thing for me, Bub, I'm really getting tired of NFL overtime. I mean, you know, they changed the rule a couple years ago. You know, first touch, if you score a touchdown, you win, but the field goal, you get a chance if it's on your first drive. And, I mean, some of these games this year, they've been dragging out, and I really think the NFL should take a look at, you know, switching to something like the college overtime. I mean, I think it's so much more exciting, and, you know, it gives you such a more concrete ending. I mean, nobody likes to tie. And, you know, the decision that Kubiak was faced with, you know, do I go for the win and possibly lose the game, or do I go for the tie? I mean, I don't know. I mean, the rule change, I don't think it's done enough in overtime. I think we need some more changes.
I mean, I don't disagree. They don't like the college rule because the college game makes it more susceptible to injuries because it's right. You're actually so tired out. And you can see these teams, and, you know, you go to multiple overtimes in those college drives. And, you know, it's a tough game. But, I mean, I do not disagree with you that the rule is bad. I mean, you know, but I guess is it better than having a tie? You know, I mean, that's one of the alternatives. I don't know what the right answer is, you know, but I think that, you know, I don't know what to tell you about it. I mean, I agree with you. I just don't know. I don't have a better answer, and I don't have a better idea. I'm sure there's something, but you know, maybe they could do it like soccer and have a five kick shootout, you know, a 30, 40, 50, and 60 yard field goal from the kicker, right? on each side, whoever gets the most wins the game. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, but yeah, I don't have a great answer for that.
All right, and you know, one last game I wanted to recap. You know, back to Thanksgiving Day, we had the Redskins. They tried almost every trick in the book to not cover that game, but they ended up coming back, put up 20 points in the fourth quarter. Awfully exciting. I mean, Kirk Cousins threw for 450 yards and three touchdowns. But again, Dak Prescott. I mean, I know we already talked about what he did this week, but you know, even Thanksgiving week, got the job done. Ezekiel Elliott had 100 yards and a couple touchdowns. You know, I thought the Redskins fought pretty hard, but, I mean, you know, give up 14 points in the fourth quarter. I know it's weird on the other side, you know, the Cowboys gave up 20, but Redskins, I think they're definitely still in the wild card hunt. Kirk Cousins, I mean, he put up some great numbers, but I thought that was a winnable game for the Redskins that, you know, I'm not going to say they pissed it away, but, I mean, they had a lot of opportunities, and they just kept, you know, they just couldn't keep Dallas out of the end zone.
No, I think you're correct. And, I'm not a big fan of the Redskins. I just don't see them being good enough. But, of course, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles have fallen back to them. And of course, the Giants and the Cowboys are way out in front. And the advantage that the Washington's got this year is the entire league, you know, basically sucks. I mean, the North is no good, and you know, Carolina's no good, and you know, Atlanta is riding high right now, and we'll see how that lays out overall. But again, I don't see you know, a lot in their way, so they could sneak in, and of course, if you're in, you had a chance. But I'm not a big fan. I don't think they're very good overall. I think Kirk Cousins, again, you know, we go into this a lot, you know, over the years, and you Kirk Cousins is the guy that reminds me that he gets you just excited enough to think that he's going to be great, and then he lets you down. And I look for more of that. Kirk Cousins actually reminds me of a young Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a stat machine that can put him out, but I do not see him. He didn't do it at Michigan State, and I don't see him doing it at the pro level. I don't think that he's a true winner that can actually take a team on his back and drive him down and have him win a game. He's not in that league. Maybe he can get there, but I don't think so. I think he is what he is. He's a stat machine, and he'll always have a job in the NFL because of that. But as far as him taking a team and putting on his shoulders, I think there's no chance. And just in my opinion, I think that he's more or less just one of those guys that he's good. He's like a Jay Cutler. You know, he can put stats up, but he can't do it. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Sporting Edge every weekend, as well as The Bubba Show on every day. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, we got some more NFL. We're winding down. We better get it all in now.
I know, you know, week 13, but I mean, this is a pretty stacked slate this week. I mean, you know, week 13, playoff implications are real now. I mean, you know, we got a lot of great games. First one, we're starting off Chiefs and Falcons. You know, Chiefs are traveling to Atlanta. They're a 5.5-point dog. Bub, I think this Chiefs team, I mean, as uninspiring and as unexciting as they always are, I think they're a dark horse for me. I mean, Andy Reid, I think, is a very underrated coach. And I think this team is starting to hit its stride. And like we talked about, that was a huge win against Denver last week. I like them against the Falcons this week, actually straight up. You know, I think this Chiefs team is going to ride high into the playoffs, and I think they're one of my teams to watch out for.
I agree. I can't fault you on any of your analysis, and it's amazing that they've got major injuries and they still come to play. And you know what? That's one of the things we always talk about. If you can play defense and you can run the ball a little bit, then you're going to be in the game, and that's certainly what they've been able to do. And Andy Reid is certainly a solid coach, and he does the most with the least amount of talent, I think. So I'm on board with KC punishing Atlanta.
And, you know, next game, but I know, Bub, that he's been your guy that we've trashed for the longest time now. But Aaron Rodgers, the past couple weeks, you know, he started to show some flashes of his old self. And I mean, this game against the Texans this week, this is do or die. At 5-6, they're at home. They're 7-point favorite. You know, this is a big game, and I think the X factor in this game is, you know, not Aaron Rodgers, but Brock Osweiler. Can he put up points against this decimated Green Bay defense? I think the answer is no. I think he's that bad, and I think the Packers, as bad as that defense is, I think Aaron Rodgers starts to get on a little tear.
I don't think he gets on a tear, but this game I think he wins, but I think the one big problem here is we don't know if he's going to play yet. He's listed as questionable. You know, he hurt his leg in the last game. And he's not for certain to be on the field. And then if he's on, is he going to be at a good enough strength? So for me personally, I'd have to stay away from this. Although under normal circumstances, I would like the setup because Brock Osweiler is brutal. I mean, Brock Osweiler go play for Jeff Fisher. But other than that, I don't see – I can't make a commitment here because, again, when a guy's injured, and especially with a bum flipper, it's hard for me to get too excited about laying the wood with him.
Where's the probable tag when you need it? So much guessing nowadays with the questionable. But you know, Bub, the Dolphins, I mean, they've taken the league by storm. They're actually 7-4. I mean, I remember, you know, after week 5, I mean, they were a team I put on the back burner. I said, see you next year. Maybe I'll see you in 5 years. But Dolphins at Ravens. Ravens are 6-5. Dolphins are 7-4. Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite at home right now. And these teams, I think, you know, are even behind the Chiefs of being, you know, the least exciting teams in football. But this Ravens defense has been playing outstanding this year. And we've seen a couple key injuries on this Miami Dolphins offensive line. And Jay Ajayi, you know, has not been running wild like he used to a few weeks ago. So, I mean, this game has huge implications for the playoffs because the Ravens, the Steelers, they're neck and neck. The Bengals, you know, see you later. You know, they're 3-7-1. They got pounded last week. One of the biggest disappointment besides the Arizona Cardinals, who again were awful last week. I mean, I think I got to officially hop off the bandwagon, Bub. What do you think?
I think you do. And as far as your Miami Baltimore, I mean, I'd be a Baltimore player if I was going to play that game. Again, Miami's been good, but I think Baltimore would be the play in my eyes there. I think that they're just a better home team. And, you know, I'm never happy when I have Ryan Tannehill running my offense.
Yeah, I feel on that one. I mean, I had, you know, Devontae Parker last week, and he got, you know, a touchdown called back, 50-yard reception called back. Ryan Tannehill was kind of starting to make something happen, but it ended up not happening. But, meanwhile, 7-4, nothing to hang your head about. But, Bub, I think, you know, probably my game of the week, I think it's the New York Giants against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Pittsburgh, like I just mentioned, they're 6-5, hanging in right there with Baltimore. New York Giants, 8-3, playing some pretty good football this year. I mean, this defense has really stepped up. You know, Eli Manning, I don't think has been playing as well as he did last year and even the year before in his third year in Ben McAdoo's offense. But I kind of like the Giants in this one, Bub. I mean, 6 points on the road. That Steelers offense is so dynamic. But, you know, Big Ben really hasn't looked, you know, all himself this year. And this Giants defense, I think, you know, it's surprised a lot of people. And I think it will continue to surprise a lot of people. And I think the Giants are ended up 9-3 after this week.
I'm not thrilled with the game. Eli Manning's another guy that I always wonder about and worry about. I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't make it. It wouldn't be a big play for me. It'd be something I would have no problem being on that side. I mean, I wouldn't be on the Pittsburgh side for sure, but I'm not a huge fan here either. I mean, you know, it could work. I don't know. I'm not real thrilled with it either way. There was not actually a lot on the card that excited me. Believe it or not, though, I can't believe San Francisco is a favorite over the Bears, and I actually do like the Bears, believe it or not, this week at home.
Yeah, I mean, this is the toilet bowl. But, Mac Bartley, I give him credit. I mean, those last two drives last Sunday, I mean, it was pretty incredible. I mean, a guy who's a third-string quarterback looked pretty darn good. I mean, I think for all you daily fantasy players out there, I think Jordan Howard is a very good play this week. I think they're going to feed him the rock, and I think Mac Bartley is going to surprise some people. I mean, this 49ers defense is pretty brutal. There's a reason they're 1-10. But, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, I mean, is that guy putting up some stats or what? I mean, he's rushing alone by himself. He's rushing for almost 70 yards a game since he's taken over. I mean, we're starting to see, you know, what was so exciting about this guy a couple of years ago when he took the 49ers to the Super Bowl. He's definitely got a lot of talent. I mean, you can't knock him for that. There's a lot of things we talked about him on this show for, but I mean, the guy has shown some spurts this year, and I know this 49ers team is awful, but, I mean, Colin Kaepernick is a guy also to look out for in the daily fantasy world. Well, my last question to round up, you know, the NFL this week, Rob Gronkowski, you know, looks like he's not going to play again this year. What does this do to the Patriots' Super Bowl chances? Does it do anything to it? Are they still the favorites in your eyes, or were they the favorites to begin with?
I think they were the favorite. I think that Rob Gronkowski, not only has he done this year, I think he's done for his career. That's a sad note. I think his career's over. No guy has ever come back from two disc surgeries in their back, and I don't think he will be, because he's always been an injury guy to begin with, which is a problem. You know, he's a big monster, but yet he's injured consistently. I mean, it does hurt him because, again, Martellus Bennett, nice tight end, but certainly not in the Gronkowski league, so it does change the coverage. But when you have Tom Brady and you have Bill Belichick, who can take just about any puzzle and any pieces and put a puzzle together, I think it shaves a couple of points off of every one of their games that they'd be favored in. But overall, they've won without him before, and they'll win without him again, and it'll have a minor effect, but I'm sure that Bill Belichick and Klan will come up with a plan that will help them run and continue. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they always do. I mean, you know, Rob Gronkowski is a great player. Definitely the best tight end in the league when he's on the field. But, you know, they are 15-6 without him over the course of his career. I think this definitely takes a little bit of a hit on their Super Bowl chances. I mean, the guy is dynamic. He's a playmaker. But, you know, he's unhealthy, you know, all the time. He's injured, and I mean, that hit he took the other week was vicious. So I'm not knocking him for being injured all the time, but, you know,
he's always injured. I mean, you know, it's once again, this is kind of what I look at. You know, there are certain guys that every year they always find a way. You know, it doesn't matter whose fault it was. I mean, it's no different than in baseball, Giancarlo Stanton. The guy is a picture of, I mean, who wouldn't want to be that body and that guy and that hitter? But yet every year there's a reason that he gets shut down for some. It doesn't matter. It's his fault or not. But every year he's been in the league, he's been injured. Rob Gronkowski, every year he's been in the league, he's injured. So you tell me.
I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. But, I mean, he's awfully fun to watch. I mean, that's one thing. You know, him and Brady have hooked up so many times, and he's made so many great plays. But, you know, can't stay on the field. But I think that's all we got for the NFL this week, Bub. But,
yeah, no, I do like him. And, you know, I think he can play. And I did have one more game that I actually like this week. And I like the Jets Monday night over the Colts. I think that the Colts are awful, and not that the Jets are much better, but they will be at home. They will be on Monday night, and I think that that they're going to put a little whooping on and maybe put the final nail in Pagano's coaching career. That's my opinion. You got about 10 seconds if you want to rebut me.
Rowdy Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm all in on it. I think he's going to have a good week this week and not throw six picks.
Well, you know, he might throw six picks and six touchdowns, but like I said, him and Kirk Cousins are stat machines, but they can never win, which is why they're always looking for a new team. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download us every weekend, as well as The Bubba Show during the week. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. Welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, we got a hell of a game last week in Columbus. You were almost going to go, but you didn't. But Michigan, Ohio State, and, you know, it's unfortunate for Michigan because they should have won that game. They gave away far too many chances and made far too many mistakes, but certainly it was a pretty good game. What'd you think?
I mean, I think I'd have to call it the game of the year. I mean, not only is that probably the biggest rivalry in college football, but, I mean, that game was awesome. I thought Michigan personally outplayed Ohio State. I thought they should have won that game. But, I mean, a huge call, Bub. I want to get your opinion. Did JT Barrett get that first down, or was the ball behind the line? I personally think he did not get it. I think Michigan had a legitimate beef with that call. I thought the ball was at least a couple inches behind. I thought that spot was very suspect.
I don't disagree. I think that's another problem. You know, we kind of opened the show with officiating, and here we are talking about it again. You know, there's so many things that are left up to human, to the human side, that it's hard to say. I mean, you know, I agree with you, but unfortunately, that's the way life goes. And you know, Michigan definitely outplayed them. That Michigan should have won easy, and I was surprised to see Michigan drop out of the top four, and Washington step in, I think Washington can get beat by Colorado, so that's I don't think it'll be a problem. I think Michigan and Ohio State are both going, unless Penn State rips Wisconsin.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, getting back to the Michigan game though, I mean, yeah, I think this is definitely their game to win, and Wilton Spate. He was okay, you know, did some good things, but, I mean, had three turnovers. You just can't do that. You know, the pick six early in the game made it just a couple too many mistakes. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, if you watch the game at all, was irate the entire time at the officiating. But you know what? You know, I think they made a couple mistakes, definitely in Ohio State's favor. But Michigan, you know, I think they got to look in the mirror in this one. I mean, they outplayed Ohio State. Turned the ball over too much, and you know they put themselves in position to win the game, and they just couldn't do it. They just kept making mistakes, and give a lot of credit to Ohio State. I mean, this was a very tough battle, hard fought game, and you know what a better way to end the season by sitting at home and not even have to play in the Big Ten championship, you know, and being a lock to be in the college football playoff. It's a pretty sweet deal for Ohio State.
Pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, you're 100% right, and we do have some big games. We got some championship games this weekend and a couple of others, and I think there's no better place than to start with the number one team in the country. Now, when did you think you'd see a playoff game as the team a 24-point favorite?
I mean, this just kind of speaks to how, you know, Alabama's in Tier 1 and everybody else is kind of starting in Tier 3 or 4. I mean, you'd think an SEC championship game, a team on the road, a 24-point favorite. It's hard for me to take Alabama in this game. I tell you what, it's, you know, 24 points against in a championship game with Florida, but We've talked about it almost every week. I mean, Alabama is that one, basically that one team in the nation that could take any team and in a matter of 5 minutes can flip the game upside down and just go on an absolute tear. I mean, Jalen Hurts, you know, talk about him every week. I think he's in the Heisman conversation. I mean, Lamar Jackson kind of ruined it for himself. I mean, Louisville just, I mean, basically shit the bed. I mean, Lamar Jackson, I thought, was a shoo-in to win the Heisman. And I think he's probably still the favorite right now, but nowhere near as clear-cut as it used to be. I mean, and you got to give a lot of props to Jalen Hurts, freshman quarterback for Alabama. I mean, if they go in and steamroll Florida, I think he's got a pretty legitimate case, basically being the best player on the best team in the nation. But, Bub, if I had to pick this game, I think I'd have to go with the Gators.
Well, we'd have to be on opposite sides because, as you know, I don't like to bet favorites. But I look at this game as a 42-0 kind of game. I don't see.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. If that happened, I would not be surprised.
I don't see Florida scoring, so that's the first thing. So the question is, will Alabama score enough to take care of business? And that's always the question. And then, of course, the number three team, Clemson, playing Virginia Tech in Orlando as a 10.5-point favorite. And you know, Clemson's really had a pretty rough year, and it's amazing that they've been able to maintain and stay in the top four, especially with that loss to Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh turned out to be a little bit better than everybody thought. But any feel on this game?
You know what? I think Clemson is going to win this in a nail biter. And, you know, like you said, we kind of worried about Clemson every week. I mean, you know, they did not look sharp. You know, they're ranked in the top three, but, you know, Alabama this year looked sharp. I mean, at every turn, basically didn't falter the entire year. Clemson has been, you know, walking a tightrope basically the entire year, and you know, losing to Pittsburgh, I mean, that could have been the end of it. But I like Virginia Tech plus the 10. I do think Clemson is going to squeak out this win and cement their college football playoff chances. But Bub, you know, I guess you like Colorado from what you said before.
I do.
Over Washington.
I do. I think they win the game straight up. How's that?
I would not be surprised. This Colorado team has been one of the Cinderellas of NCAA football this year. I mean, you know, Colorado has notoriously been a pretty average football program. What they've been able to do this year, though, has been awesome. And same with Washington. I mean, Washington is always a pretty good team. You know, you see them sneak in a top 25. You know, maybe they get up, you know, to 15 or something. But they've had a fantastic year. And after they lost the other week at USC, I thought their playoff chances were absolutely out the window. But, you know, Michigan lost. They're a two-loss team. You know, this is interesting, Bub. I think if Washington wins, I think they've got to be in. I mean, they're at four right now. You can't knock them down. But, I mean, Penn's, like you said, Colorado wins. Penn State destroys Wisconsin. I mean, I think you got to put Penn State in ahead of Michigan right now.
Oh, I would agree. I would agree with you. And that's the one caveat. Washington has had a great year, but I think, you know, again, the Colorado, I think, is going to beat them. And I think that Penn State will beat Wisconsin as well. I think Penn State's playing as good as anybody right now. And I think they're gonna put a beat down on Wisconsin. Now, the question will be big enough, and will the, you know, the computers like them enough and, you know, to like them over Michigan? I mean, Michigan, you know, I think Michigan's real bad problem was that loss to Iowa, which was brutal.
That really screwed them. I mean, they're such a great team, but I mean that was just kind of a clunker, and you know they should have won that game. They just, you know, they let Iowa hang around and they end up kicking a last second field goal. I mean, I would really love to see Michigan in this college football playoff. I think the top four teams are Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan. I don't know if Clemson. I don't think they're the top four team, but I'm, you know, I can't count them out, and I would like to see them. See him get a shot at it again. I mean, they were certainly close enough last year, but, you know, Michigan, disappointing. I mean, I think they're a great team, and I would love to see another rematch, but I just don't see it happening. You know, if Washington wins, they're in, and I think if Penn State wins, they're in. But, you know what, Bub? Wisconsin wins, Colorado wins. Can you rank Wisconsin ahead of Michigan? I don't think you can.
No. Wisconsin's not going for sure. My opinion, obviously. I'm not on the board. I don't know the computer. But Wisconsin is not going for sure. I don't care what they do. They could win by 100. They're not going. You know, that's just the way I see it. I don't think that their strength of schedule is good enough. I think, you know, their game, a lot of their games were close early in the year. I think that gives them a bigger problem. You know, and as we wind down here, the last championship game I want to look at is, of course, the U.S. Naval Academy, my one of my teams. They're a 2.5-point favorite over Temple, and I think they shut Temple down into the little pieces, and they go on and win. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I like Navy. I mean, it's hard not to like them after they put up 80 points last week, rushing for over 500 yards. I mean, it's a pretty big show, a team that doesn't really throw the ball, and they put up 78. That was pretty awesome. But, yeah, I like Navy in this game. I think they've played some really good football this year and been on top of their game. Yeah, I think they're a much better team than Temple.
They're 9-2. They're going to finish 11-2 because they're going to beat Temple, then they're going to beat Army. And this is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba, and we want to wish you all have a great weekend and enjoy the football. And we'll see you back here next weekend, same time, same station. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. LibertyTalk.fm, get you the download. We will see you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later. The Sporting Edge.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.